World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making ministry with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again, me and John Diamond. We're on the road again, heading to where, John?
Knoxville,
Tennessee. There's kind of a Patriot pastor meeting down there today. And then at 1 o'clock today, John Diamond's going to be on live with Alan Keyes on Alan Keyes' show. What's the name of that, John?
Let's Talk America.
Let's Talk America. And then at 2 o'clock, Coach Dave's going to be on with Alan Keyes and Let's Talk America. And I'm not name dropping. John and I used to travel around and do these years ago. We called them, what do we call those, John, when we go around and put those huddles on? Oh, I don't remember. But Alan Keyes used to come and speak. We used to go around and try to wake people up. I'm talking 15, 20 years ago. I've been doing this for a while. And so I get a chance, look at deer over there. I get a chance to reunite with Dr. Keyes today. Looking forward to it. Sorry if the sound breaks up. Sorry, the internet. We're on the road doing the best we can. So God bless you. Thanks for being there. Flea Flicker Friday, and I really want to make it a Flea Flicker Friday because it's really hard for me to do a show from the car. I keep looking up. I'm getting reflection of the sun in the mirror in my face. Keep looking down. And I want to cover something before we really dive in. Boy, I got some folks. If we get a chance here, I got to get this up on our website. I was really impacted yesterday. Hey, devil was after me all day yesterday. All day. Wrestling. Anybody else say amen to that? I was on top sometimes. He was on top sometimes.
Amen.
We were wrestling yesterday, baby.
Amen.
And I figured out why. It took me a while to figure out why. And I don't know if I didn't say much about it yesterday, but my News with Views commentary, my weekly word this week was seven principalities of hell. I took that stuff from Doc Marquis, and I kind of made it more concise, and I put it into the commentary, and I released the seven principalities of hell. And I don't think they liked it. Bear with me as I go stream of consciousness here, okay? It's kind of the way I'm flowing here today. I guess if there's a theme of this show. I'm trying to get the sun out of my eyes. I don't know where to best get. I guess if there's a theme to this show, and I've said to you many times, boy, would that sit there? That would be great. Oh, my. Friends, I'm not a theologian. I don't claim to be one, okay? In the school Hard Knocks, I've been school of the wilderness. A lot of scars, spiritual scars. A lot of my spiritual scars came because misapplication. Mark Trump, you'll get this one. Joseph, you'll understand this one. I didn't know how to use the equipment, right? I got a lot of bumped elbows and bumped thumbs and stuff because when I go up to sky high and try to clean up the place, I don't know how to use the equipment. I had an incident yesterday. Maybe get a chance to tell you about later. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We're losing Christianity because most of us aren't very good Christian mechanics. We don't know how to use the tools. We have no understanding of the tools. Now, I want you to know this. As I just said, I'm not a theologian. I'm not an expert. But I can think. I can read. I can think. And I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know what more you need. Certainly we need education. We do. I'm saying this because I watched yesterday Chuck Missler. If we get a chance, maybe later on we'll show you a little bit. Chuck Missler, he's what I can consider an old conservative mainstream guy. He did a teaching yesterday. I just happened to come across. Sorry if I'm not looking at you. On the Nephilim, Genesis 6. Oh my goodness, folks. The nuggets that were in that. Do you know that the average Christian, I don't even know what that means. You can raise your hand right now if you want to and tell me. It won't take very many hands. Raise your hand if you ever heard a sermon in your church on the Nephilim, on the giants. Okay, good. You can put them down because we act like it's not even there, right? Like that's not even there. And I'm going to get to that here in a second. Spencer, maybe you can get that. I think I sent it to you. Maybe you can get that ready. I want to give people just a little bit of a feel for what I'm talking about here, okay? Folks, I'm going to tell you this. When you come here and you join us every morning, John Diamond and I were just having this conversation. I don't ever want to be a church. I don't even know what that means, but I don't ever want to be a church. I don't mind being a fellowship, gathering of the saints, the place where we come and sit down and throw a piece of meat out on the table and cut it up and chew it up. But I don't ever want to be this church structure. I don't know if you notice this or not. The Lord is destroying the modern day church structure. He's destroying it. It's happening, right? Most of them destroyed because they were non-essential. Something we knew anyway. They were non-essential. And I think that what we're going to be able to see, a total, complete, if America's to survive, a complete, total reformation of the church. That's what I think is going on. And he's going to have to bring us back to some of these old truths that for whatever reason we don't talk about anymore. And that's why I was so blown away with Chuck Missler, because, I mean, he's about as mainstream as you get. I'm going to play that here in a second, but listen. So I wrote yesterday the commentary, The Seven Principalities of Hell, and I have about three or four different platforms. I put on newswithviews.com and some other places I posted before it's news. Anyway, I get responses. And you would not believe the number of responses from people who, first of all, had never heard of it. I'm sorry if I'm breaking up, you know, I'm out on the road. They'd never heard of the Seven Principalities of Hell. I heard from people say, that's not in the Bible. That's demonic. Nobody named angels in the Bible. There's only three angels named. I'm thinking, dude, we're talking about, we're spying in on the other team's game plan. We got the other team's playbook, dude. The occult is real. The demonic is real. And those of us in the church ain't got no feel for it, no understanding of it at all. Spiritual warfare, praying. We don't. Folks, I'm sorry. We're so stupid. We're so blind and stupid. And they said, you know, they got on me. They said, well, Roger, and I ran down through those. And I got it all from Doc Marquis. Doc Marquis, who was an Illuminist, Illuminati, right? Doc Marquis, who was on the dark side. By the way, if you're commenting, I can't see it. So I'm sorry. I'm going to shut up a minute. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm thinking, dudes, this is what the devil's team is telling us. This is what the devil's team is telling us. Of course, it's not in the Bible. Of course, it's not in there. It's what the devil, we're getting an overview of Satan's team. And they don't get it. But I'm amazed that the number of people don't get it. But I'm also amazed at the number of people who do get it. Say, oh, wow, coach, that really opened my eyes. It didn't come from me, right? It came from Doc Marquis, who used to be on the other team, and he was a spy, and he came and said, hey, listen, here's what the other team, Stephanie's, if you're out there, Stephanie, who's messed around in the
amen, coach, you're on target. Call. Amen. Keep going.
Amen.
Stephanie, it's real, right? Whether we sit around and do our little prayer in our prayer closet, whether we go to the National Day of Prayer downtown and do all that kind of stuff, the reality is the devil is kicking our ass. And the devil's kicking our ass. Why? Because they have an organized offensive and we don't even know it's real. And so we have people inside Christianity who will say to us, that stuff's not real. That stuff's not real. Really? That stuff's not real? You read down those seven principalities of hell and you tell me that that isn't going on. Every one of those things isn't going on. So Doc Marquis gives us an overview of how the devil is working. He unveils, if you will, some demonic intelligence. We've got a spy who went in and got the demonic intelligence, and Christians don't want to believe it. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. And so I was a little bit, hyped up. I wanted to come. When you come in here, everything's on the table. All right? I'm not going to agree with you, believe everything you say. I'm not. But everything's on the table. You talk about whatever you want to here. You talk about it in the wrong way, somebody's going to slap you down. Now, if you're not man enough to get slapped down, then hey. It's worth contending for. So I'm going to shut up here a minute because we're in a war. And if you think what's going on in the United States of America, Caitlyn Jenner running for governor, doing nothing more than, again, what's the word I'm looking for? Being verified, being authenticated as a conservative. Folks, if we turn to cross-dressers to carry the gospel message, we're in trouble, aren't we, John? If our solution is cross-dressers making our argument, would anybody think we're... Nobody sees anything wrong with that other than me?
Hey, Coach, we're lost if that's our solution.
Well, you know why we're lost? Because of what I said yesterday. I will never call Bruce Jenner Caitlyn, ever acknowledge that. I will never do it. I'll never do it.
Boom.
Right? Okay, so listen, I'm going to do this real quickly, and then it's a Flea Flicker Friday. I want to open it up. I'm going to have Spencer is going to be the maestro, because basically on my phone, I see me. I don't see anybody else that's in here. I can't see if your hand's up. I can't see any of that. I wanted to get off my chest. The devil was after me all day yesterday because I was over the target. So John and I are heading, what's the name of this thing we're going to go to, John?
Patriot Pastors Gathering.
It's a Patriot Pastors Gathering. It's going to be tonight and tomorrow, and I'll be home tomorrow night. And so that's what we're doing. So listen, I just want you to, now, Jared, if you're listening, I can't see, of course. Jared, if you can, I want you to capture. First of all, put this in the chat so people can look at this later on their own. But I want you to, maybe if we can make it so it goes on the website as well. Folks, I just want to give you about 5 minutes of Chuck Missler, mainstream Chuck Missler, not tinfoil hat Chuck Missler, talking about Genesis 6 giants. Go ahead and play that, Spence.
Give me just a second.
I don't hear it. I don't know if it's playing. There it is.
What you really need to do to get a handle on the UFO thing, strangely enough, is to do your homework in Genesis chapter 6. And I want you to notice the first two verses, and I want you to pay attention that the first two verses are a single sentence. Many people stumble because they don't realize that's a single sentence. You'll see why what I'm getting at in a minute. Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God, as it's translated, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. One verse. Now the question is, this strange phrase, sons of God. That can mean anything to us. Let's find out what the text really means. Sons of God. What it is in the Hebrew is, remember, Hebrew goes from right to left. So if you're watching the slides here, remember, all languages go towards Jerusalem. Nations that are east of Jerusalem go from right to left, the language. Nations that are west of Jerusalem go from left to right. So just breaking, so Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, Sanskrit, whatever, they go right to left. Anyway, so if you're reading the Hebrew here, recognize it goes from right to left. Bnei HaElohim, the sons of the God. Now, Sons of God, B'nai Ha-Elohim, is a term that's always used of a direct creation of God. Adam was a direct creation of God. You and I, in the natural, are not. We're sons of Adam. That's our problem. That's what the book of Romans is all about. And, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The term has technical meaning in the New Testament as well as the Old. In the Old Testament, this term in the Hebrew, in Job 1:6, Job 2:1, Job 38:7, is always used of angels, because they are a direct creation of God. In the New Testament, also Luke 20:36. Also, the book of Enoch. Now, don't misunderstand my use of this as a citation here. The book of Enoch was very popular from about the 2nd century before Christ to the 2nd century after. It is not an inspired book. I wouldn't treat it that way. But it is useful in understanding the vocabulary and the grammar of the time. And clearly, the book of Enoch, this term is used there also to refer to angels. And it deals with it greatly. The Septuagint. And the Septuagint also makes it clear that we're dealing here with angels, as we think of them. Now, in Genesis 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all whom they chose. The word sons of God, of course, is B'nai Ha-Elohim, sons of God, direct creation, term for angels. Saw the daughters of men. Now, by the way, what that really says in the Hebrew is B'nath Adam, daughters of Adam. Now, when you get down to verse 4 of Genesis 6, it says there were Nephilim in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became the mighty men which were of old, men of renown. What this verse seems to indicate is that these Nephilim were offspring of a strange union. The sons of God, these are angels according to the Hebrew precision here. They came in unto the daughters of men, daughters of Adam, incidentally. This is not just Cain and Seth and any of that. This is the daughter, these are daughters of men. And they bear children to them. It's those children that are the Nephilim. Now, what on earth is the Nephilim? That word, Nephilim, is a key word. We're going to talk a lot about that. Nephilim means the fallen ones. It comes from the verb nephal, which means to fall, be cast down, to fall away, to desert. That's what a Nephilim is, a deserter, in a sense. What the passage portrays, and it's very difficult for many people to absorb this, it portrays fallen angels. These are not the good guys. Remember when Satan fell, a third of the angels fell with him. Not all of them, but a group of them, apparently, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, chose to try to create a hybrid race. I don't know the technology. I'm not going to get into that. But they apparently were... See, angels can't multiply. Angels are eternal. There's a reproduction.
Okay, Spencer. I'm just going to wet your whistle. By the way, it took my earbuds. I'm sorry for the sound in the back. Just wet your whistle. Folks, this is fascinating. It's fascinating. One of the things that really blew my mind is it says when the angels left their first estate... means, see, I always thought that meant they left wherever they were. No. First estate, according to Chuck Smithler, means, are you ready for this? The container in which they lived. In other words, we live in a meat suit. Evidently, angels lived in something else. And Chuck Smithler says that the Hebrew or the Greek, whatever it is, means that when they left their first estate, they somehow came out of their angelic bodies. They somehow came out of them. And then they couldn't go back. They couldn't go back to their first estate. Folks, put this in the chat. I'm telling you, this is unbelievably fascinating. Because, again, ask yourself, I write this thing yesterday, Seven Principalities of Hell. Half of the people who read it have never heard anything about it. And the other half think I'm crazy, right? How can we understand the supernatural that nobody's talking about, right? Nobody's talking about it. So I'm going to shut up. This is a Flea Flicker Friday. Spencer will put that video in the chat. Jared, I want you, if you can, Jared, save this onto our website. Friends, please do me a favor. Go watch this, because it will equip you to understand better the demonic realm. It's not that long. Maybe it's 20 minutes. I can't remember. It's worth a watch, okay? So I'm going to shut up here. By the way, Ricky's doing better. Unbelievable. He's alive today because of Jeff Klein. Jeff Klein went over there and gave the Lord something to work through. Jeff stood up and laid down his business, did everything he could, went over and rescued his brother. And Ricky Miller, for the rest of his life, sorry, he's going to owe his life not only to Jeff Klein, he's going to owe his natural life to Jeff Klein. Thank you that the Lord is working a miracle. It's because Jeff Klein did that, folks. Hey, could have prayed all you want to. We could have all sat and prayed all we wanted to for Ricky Miller, who would taste something. If Jeff Klein and Ricky's wife, Vicky, had not every day gone to the hospital, they would have let him die. That's what I think. God bless you, Jeff. So go ahead, Maestro Spence, who wants to talk?
Craig has his hand up. Craig, go ahead.
Just a dovetail there, Coach. This is where it ties into the book of Enoch. And if you look at Azel, he was having a discussion with these watchers, okay? And they knew that God put a boundary. If you're listening to the discussion, the writer in Enoch is giving you the discussion. He says, hey, if we do this, there ain't no turning back. And God's really going to be pissed off. And that's where he comes in. He says, well, how do I, you know, I'm going to go first and do this, but then the rest of you all are going to sit back and let me get toasted. And that's where you hear this conversation back and forth. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. And Chuck's a great teacher. This is exactly what happened. They could not go back. They changed their abode. And, of course, we know that Azel.
So Craig, listen, that's why they're looking. See, they changed their abode. Do you understand? They came out of their body. Whatever that angelic body was, they came out of it. And what are they looking to do ever since? They're looking for a body to get into. Okay? They're looking. They would like to go back, but they can't go back. They can't go back. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to get inside you. They're trying to get inside you. This demonic thing is real, folks. It's real. Wake up, church. Go ahead, Spence.
What, hey, Coach, just to add on to this, okay, is their offspring, okay, that was the Nephilim. See, they were earthborn between divinity to a certain degree because it was fallen divinity and humanity. They're the ones that got sent down to the pit, okay? They're the ones that when they got put into the pigs said, don't send me down to the pit. See, once you're born on earth, you're stuck on earth. You're in Sheol, which is Hades, which is the abode of the dead. Okay, the watchers who did this, part of them, yes, are in the deep Tartarus, which is the deepest part of Sheol. I mean, that's like isolation in prison, okay? But then what happened is, if you go and you look at the rest of the book of Enoch here, God's punishment was is the watchers actually had to see their offspring fight each other and kill each other off. That was their punishment.
Fascinating. But hey, you keep talking like that, Craig, you ain't going to get invited to any Baptist churches, brother. Huh? You're not allowed to talk about this stuff, folks. Not allowed to talk. Come on, somebody else get in here. I've talked enough today.
Rochelle, come on in.
Did you say Rochelle?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Good morning, team. Yeah, that word that you referred to about their first estate is only used two times. I think it's Okaterion, but it's only used to describe where the body the angels left. And then it's described again as the body that we're trying to get into, that we're going to be given in the next life. Keep in mind, the only thing I disagree with what Chuck Missler said is that Enoch is inspired writing. It was in our canon up until the 4th century. and it is still in the Ethiopian Bible. So the Book of Enoch is very, very insightful. All of your gods from Greek and Roman mythology, those...
He gets into that in that video. Listen, I think he probably was being somewhat politically correct because he didn't want to fight with those people that said, that's not in the Bible. I just think that's why he said that.
Of course. He's an amazing teacher. No, I was just pointing that out. The gods of Greek and Roman mythology, those were real gods. I think those were the giants from this unholy union. Now, also, it says that giants were in the land after that. I do not believe the angels came back and did this again because of their the punishment that they were given. But also in the Book of Enoch, it talks about the angels taught them the cutting of roots. Now, certain roots can turn off your the gene that stops you from growing, and you can keep growing. Like, it's the same chemical that's in Miracle-Gro, whatever that chemical is. The roots they taught them to cut had that type of value. So they learned all of this stuff. That also goes into pharmakia. And oh yeah, that's another bag of worms. But remember, David and Goliath, there's talks about giants all through the Bible. There is I just want to give this one name out. You guys can look this up. Two researchers, Jim Vieira and Micah Ewers, have found more than 1,500 old newspaper articles about giant bones found here in the United States.
So in other words, Rochelle, when I was a kid, my mom should have given me some more Miracle-Gro or the devil's cut it off, whatever happened. And by the way, the Chronicles, the Nephilim Chronicles, we've talked about that before. Folks, listen, we are so ignorant about the demonic realm. We're so ignorant, folks. God help us. Somebody else, Spencer.
Mark Trump, come on in, sir.
All right, couple things. You got another story, a set of stories that matches this. You have Archangel Michael, who destroyed the heavenly places, and there were no homes for these angels who fell. The third of heaven, same number. So not only did they lose their abode or their vessels, they also lost their heavenly places. Now, didn't Jesus go to do something when he left the cross? He went to make a place for us, a heavenly place for us. And now the verses are tying in saying that we're basically going to have bodies like angels. So this is just 2 + 2. And I just wanted to throw that out there. And the other part is Chuck Messer.
Hang on a second. That's unbelievable, right? Because we all commonly talk about getting our heavenly bodies, right? And we can't get Christians can't get ourselves out of the natural realm. We believe we're going to get heavenly bodies. Well, why? Because that's what the angels had. And what did they do? They left their first estate. They came out of those. Oh my goodness.
All right, Mark. Not only that, I'll take it a step further and say, how many of the angels fell? A third of them. How many people are saved in the end? A third of us. All right? There's just a lot of comparisons. I'll ask the question, and y'all take it. Don't answer it. Just take it with you. Are we replacing the fallen angels? All right, the second part that Chuck Missler gets into is miry clay. He goes to Daniel 2:43, and he talks about us not bonding, or miry clay not bonding with iron. But miry clay is they will not.
By the way, Chuck Missler talks about that as well, Mark.
Yes, that's in the Chuck Missler thing. So he talks about it mingling. In those verses in Daniel, he talks about mingling, which are the same verses, very similar context, interlinear. Look it up. It means Arab. Mingle means Arab. It's the same verse used in the Shinar region when he said, don't mingle with the people. That's the Arab people. They are mingled. Okay? And it's Chuck Missler talked about it in 2 Daniel 43. Y'all check it out. Okay?
Folks, please watch the video. Please watch the video. Listen. Church. if we do not become more informed on the supernatural realm, by the way, which is where we're headed, right? It's where we're headed, into that supernatural realm. And those of you who've lost loved ones, where are they? Where are these loved ones? See, they are in a realm. We can argue all day what that realm is, what it looks like, what goes on there. But we all know, even in our lexicon, that's a big word for language, that they're in a better place. They've passed on. We call it heaven. But even in our shallow theology, we recognize that there's someplace else other than this. Well, what is in that other place? Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach, real quick, I just wanted to say, as a young millennial, unfortunately, a lot of young kids these days just don't know heaven, and they think that, oh, life's great here in America now, and they think everything's hunky-dory. They're not focused on heaven. They're, like, happy here, and it's a detriment to our young people.
Well, it is, because what have we taught them, right? We taught them it's all about them. It's all about here. It's all about now. God will bless you. God will make you happy. God will give you everything you need. And so, therefore, see, guys, can you imagine the explosion in our Christian churches if we once again made the supernatural real? People come and hear about the supernatural. People didn't think you were a kook because an angel visited your room.
Amen.
We don't even talk about this stuff. Pastors don't, we deny the supernatural. Come on in.
Pastor Dale.
Well, amen, brother. Maybe I can cross some T and dot an I, which is pretty cool, because crossing a T makes the sign of a cross, and dotting an I shows the separation from the cross to a heavenly place right above. But check this out. I mean, I listened to that video, Coach. Let me tell you, not only I listened to it, I forwarded it to. And as a pastor, yes, I'm not in-depth teaching on the Nephilim, but yes, I do preach from it. But check this out and see if this does not open our eyes to understand why are churchy people, why they are not getting this. So Messler talked about, you know, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, talking about the spirits came on the people in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, they came in. This is, brother, man. So in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, where the Lord himself, it says the Lord removed himself from Saul, and he sent an evil spirit on Saul. And when David played skillfully, it would leave Saul. Now watch this. In Matthew, this is so cool, because in Matthew, when Jesus is making the depiction of understanding about a spirit, it says this. Now, this is Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 43. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it's not on the man, it's in the man, comes out of the man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, it doesn't find it. It says, I will return to my house, which I have came from. And when it finds it unoccupied, brother, this is it. We want to get them altar called, saved. Brother, the unclean spirit leaves, yet we do not disciple them. What happens? This unclean spirit returns, right? And the end of that person becomes worse than the first. Look at the church, brother. They are so because that spirit, oh, we got them saved. We got a notch in our belt. Yet then this unclean spirit comes back and it brings several other demonicness with them. And the condition of the church is seven times worse than what it was before.
Bingo, Dale. On and in. Oh, my goodness. Just that alone was worth what you just said. In the Old Testament, they talked about a spirit coming on them. And in the New Testament, they talk about a spirit coming in them. Somebody else. Wow.
Craig.
Did you say Clay?
No, sorry. Craig Mickle.
Sorry. I got my hand up mistakenly.
Okay. Debbie? Debbie Perkins.
This has been like my area of study for the last 3 years. And if you want to know the real down and dirty about it, you need to listen to Michael Heiser, who is the theologian behind the Logos Bible software. He and Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, and L.A. Mosley Lee have really, really studied the Nephilim. And don't kid yourself, they walk the earth even today. If you want to see something interesting, you need to go and look at the video, The Giant of Kandahar. And that was in the, when we were in the Afghan war. And so they are not gone. They are still here. And the interesting fact about it is their lineage is still here, and they've traced like people that have in like Asian countries and stuff that have like six fingers and, you know, six toes on each foot and stuff. That lineage is still present today in some areas. So it by no means has gone. And because they were half being and half human was the reason why they survived Noah's flood. And they are so difficult to be destroyed. So they came to Earth to teach us all the New Age stuff that we call New Age. It was, they taught witchcraft, pharmakia, they spells, all that was brought to man.
Amen.
And so that's who brought it to us. And we thought that was a cool deal, evidently. So it, they also were the ones who brought like jewelry to and adorn these women and the stone, the precious stones and use of stones and things and casting spells. So they go really, really deep, but we must not kid ourselves that they're gone, because they're not gone. And they're here in the physical and in the unseen. So Michael Heiser's the guy in the unseen realm, if you ever want to just listen to him.
Folks, could it, thank you, Debbie. Folks, could it be, Chuck Missler talks about this a little bit, could it be Greek mythology was true? Zeus, Hercules, could it be that it wasn't just mythology, but it was really,
that's what Sharon and Darren Gilbert talk about all the time. That's the
Whole these are what I call silo knowledge stacks. So there's people out there with knowledge and it's siloed. They haven't associated one another's work. You go from table to table, they all have little stacks of books and nice little stacks, but they don't mingle their knowledge. You know, so what she said about they're still among us, couple thoughts on the giants. The Nephilim changed, the angels changed the beast of the earth and the sea. They made giant creatures. But then the flood came and it killed all the giants, right? No, giants lived after. Are giant fish going to die in the flood? Come on, people, think. Giant fish are not going to die in a flood. There were giants after those days. And then all of a sudden on cave walls, we got lizard men flying around in the air. Why lizard men? Why not elephant men? Why is the aliens lizard men? Lizards, would they make it through water flood? Maybe. But now you got lizard men, the grays, lizard people, aquatic people, Atlantis. You got Greek mythology, 2 + 2. Just keep adding it up. See, all these little silo stacks don't allow us to associate a third of angels fallen and a third of the people on earth.
You're going to get thrown out of your Assemblies of God church. You keep talking like this.
Amen.
You're
going to
get thrown out of your Lutheran church and your Presbyterian church and your Baptist church. You keep talking like this.
Hey, you got Craig Mickle bringing knowledge in. You have Betty with her study. And you have all these wonderful people. And we're putting together the knowledge that was lost. Men will be lost for a lack of what? Knowledge. That's what the devil wants. That's what church denominations are about. That's what all these religions are about. God separated our languages to make it hard for us to overcome. You see?
I got to piggyback off of Mark just said, because I'll go back to the spirit came on and the spirit was in. When you read, this is such a simple thing. Little words mean big things in the Bible. Luke chapter 19, Jesus is dealing with the story of Zacchaeus here. We're all familiar with it. And what does he say in verse 9? And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save, here's the big word, that which was lost. That which was lost. Brother, let me tell you what. What is the word that? It is a noun. It is either a person, a place, or a thing. Well, if why did they not say he come to seek and save those who were lost? He come to seek that which was lost? Because that deals with the personal, the internal relationship with Jesus Christ, not a head knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, but a personal, inward spirit rebirthing of that. And brother, the church is missing it.
So real quick,
you're going to get thrown out of your denomination too.
I have my denomination, coach.
Yeah, Betty mentioned the fact that they walk among us, and we know that giants made it past the times of Noah. In those verses in Daniel and the verses in Psalms, which I put in the chat, mentioned the mingled people. God wanted us to kill all the men, women, and children. They were abominations. What does the devil want? The devil wants that blood to survive.
He wants vaccinations.
What is that?
Vaccinations, right?
He wants that blood to survive. Okay, so run it forward. You know, you have all of these people who are Neanderthals that have bad genes. They have extra genomes that aren't human that are among us. Neanderthals are a pre-Andaluvian race and this and that and blah, blah, blah. 23andMe, it's in the chat. Go to click on the button. You'll see there. You can get a test to see how much Neanderthal blood you have. Okay? Mingle. Myrie Clay shall not mingle with iron. We are the iron. The sons of man are. We are the iron. They are the miry clay. They are the Nephilim. They, the angels. You get it?
Stephanie, come on in. The dark side believe this stuff, Stephanie.
Yes, sir, they sure do. It's very real, people. They're practicing it right now against you. They hate you. They hate you. Satan hates you, and he wants you to say nothing, and he wants you to sit in your house and just leave it for somebody else to worry about. Exactly what he wants. This is right over target. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else, come on in.
All right, Rochelle, and come back in.
Yeah, I just wanted to, Betty had mentioned that they are still here, and they also, the year 13 bloodlines of the elite classes who run the planet all believe that they descended from the giants. They all believe they have giant blood. And remember, this is what puts the Bible together. A lot of people want to reject the God of the Old Testament because, you know, he flooded the planet and killed everything. Well, he did that because all flesh was corrupted and we were only thinking evil thoughts all the time. And they also want to get upset when God instructs the Israelites to go into certain places and kill all men, women, and children in there, thinking that this is, it's not just because they didn't worship the God of Abraham. These people were tainted. They didn't want that blood mixing. Those were a couple things I wanted to hit on. And also the flood, they talk about the time frame of the flood and that actually raining, or maybe the water was on the earth for 5 months, something like that. But that ties in to the 5 months in the book of Revelation when Satan gets to torture the sons of Adam who do not accept God. So it's almost like a trade-off.
So Rochelle, help me out here. The scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. So we have to ask ourselves, what was going on in the days of Noah?
I would say in the days of Noah, you've got, you're messing with DNA, you're messing with God's creation, you're corrupting it, and all of your thoughts are evil all the time. And think about what they're trying to do with this voice-to-skull technology. We think that's all cool. They can just download stuff into our brain and we're going to be so smart. Well, just think, you guys talk about all the time, just things that happen to you, bam, an image in your mind, you're tainted. You've got evil thoughts all the time. So if they can just start planting that in there like that, once again, you've got evil thoughts all the time. And they're injecting us right now with God knows what. And I'm not saying that's changing our DNA. Maybe it is, but it's definitely getting us used. We're tampering. We're putting our toe into changing our DNA right now.
Well, Coach, what was it like in the days of Noah? They were marrying and giving in marriage. Brother, brother, I sit back and I don't just say because I come to the show, brother. I've been around big groups with great people. Man, you got a cream of a crop going on here, because it was just a handful, like Noah and his children, who understood that there was this imminent danger coming. But for majority of the people, as we see today, majority of the people, brother, they are absolutely screaming clueless to what's going on. And I'm talking about the
people. That's right, Dale. And that's why, listen, friends, that's why I'm sitting here riding with John Diamond. I'm thinking, there ain't nothing like this on the internet. There ain't nothing like this. And so, folks, think about this. Some of you are struggling with family members or friends, and you start talking about this, and their eyes glaze over. You know what I'm talking about? You know right away whether they're getting it or not. I'm going to tell you something. If you cannot see that what we're talking about here is real, I don't know what to tell you. And we got to be careful, because see, we always end up getting accused of being a cult following. Oh, you listen to Coach Dave? Oh, ooh, who's he? Well, I'm not, right, folks. This isn't cult of Coach Dave. It's the cult of John Diamond and Mark Trump and Larry and Rochelle. It's in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. Now, if somebody out there right now thinks we're wrong, speak up. Say, this is all baloney. It's all BS. I don't know what you guys are talking about. This is your time to do it. This is what the forum's about. It's come, let us reason together. Isn't that what the word says? Come, let us reason together. I think somebody wants to get in here. Come on in.
We got about 8 or 9 people in line here. So Clay and then Larry.
All right, Coach. Can you hear me today?
Yes, sir.
This may answer your question. I've had a lot of people tell me the reason they don't believe in the hybrid race is because they don't believe that angels can procreate, that they do not marry. And so I'd like to address that issue for a second. All this is about technology, the way I'm understanding it. The angels, from what I understand, we were created lesser than the angels. So you got God, you got the angels, and then you got us. Now, God shows us in Genesis that he took a rib from Adam to make Eve. So he says, look at this. There's a technology process that I'm using to do this. I'm not just saying abracadabra. Now, what we're doing these days is we're modifying DNA coding, and we're creating test tube babies. Now, we don't know the technology of the angels, but surely the angels, if they want to be like God, they can take what God has already created. God created things, the ingredients are already there, so they can take what God already created and modify it and manipulate it and maybe just change DNA coding, and maybe they didn't ever have to just have sex with human women. Maybe they just had to go in and use technology to create a hybrid race. So that's my thoughts on that there, Coach.
Clay, they're going to throw you out of your Presbyterian church.
Larry, come on in here, sir.
Yeah, I want to get away from the angels and DNA and everything for a moment and piggyback on what Dale said earlier. And he talked about, you know, people get saved and then they never move on and do anything. Well, I want to beg to differ just a teeny bit, Dale. I don't think they're saved if they haven't made Jesus Lord first. After all, the main most Baptist verse for getting saved is Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't make Jesus Lord, you ain't saved, buddy. And there's a whole bunch of think they're saved people out there that have never heard about making Jesus Lord. And that's because they're satanic social club liars in chief that stand up and behind the podium. Don't tell them about making Jesus Lord.
He's their best friend, Larry. Why would they want him to be Lord? Why would you want Jesus to be Lord when he's your best buddy?
Hey, Larry. Larry.
Yes.
Tell me, and I'm with you, but what does making him Lord look like to the believer? What would some of the attributes of that be?
Okay. It looks like the one thing that Jesus pointed out and specifically told the disciples would be told wherever the gospel was preached. And that is what the lady with the alabaster flask did. Number one, she broke that flask. It had precious oil in it, and she broke it. She burned the bridges behind her. When you turn your life over for the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you burn your bridges behind you. You don't leave yourself an escape route to go back your old way if you don't like it. And the second thing she did, all of that oil went to Jesus. Everything went to Jesus. Your whole life gets turned over to Jesus. Let him be Lord of it. Let him be Lord of it. Let him be Lord of it. And that was such an important aspect of what she did. That was such an important physical manifestation of a spiritual aspect that has to take place when you turn your life over to Jesus. It was so important. Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, this is going to be told. If you don't, amen. If you can hear, quote, a gospel message supposed to get people come to the Lord and all, if that message does not mention that lady, then they make Jesus a liar, and I call them liars.
Amen. Tim and Naomi, would you like to come on in?
Hey, I hope you can hear me. But anyway, I wanted to bring up another book that I thoroughly started enjoying. I still haven't finished it. It's The Genesis 6 Conspiracy by Gary Wayne. That's an excellent book that goes in depth at all that we're speaking today. It's over just under 700 pages, but it took him 30 years. So I'm reading this book, and it's bringing a lot of aspects in. Genesis 6 Conspiracy by Gary Wayne. Thank you.
Amen on Gary Wayne.
Awesome. Amen. Again, show of hands. How many of you have had this discussion in your local church? Okay, you can put your hands down.
Alan Zeifer. Come on, sir. Then Joseph after that.
Hey, Coach. One of the scariest chapters in the Bible to me is Revelation chapter 9, because when you read in 2 Peter chapter 4, Peter talks about the angels that fell, the angels in Genesis 6 that fell. God had a containment part for them in the heart of the earth. And then Jude talks about them being in chains in the heart of the earth. They're going to be released in Revelation chapter 9, Coach. That's not the Chinese army. That's not the Indian army. Paul Begley's been saying it's going to be Chinese drones. Brother, that's going to be real supernatural beings that's been in captivity for thousands of years. They're going to be let loose. And when it says their wings are going to sound like many waters, they're going to be huge creatures. They're going to be released. And they know they're only going to be released for 5 months. Rochelle hit on it earlier. And it's going to be, sure enough, hell on earth when they're released, knowing that as soon as their 5 months is up, they're going to the lake of fire. Brother, this thing's going to be really wicked. We ain't seen nothing yet, Coach.
Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. That's what it says. That's what it says. Men are going to see these things, and they're going to have heart attacks. Somebody else, go ahead.
Joseph Allen.
Coach, we look at ourselves as simple, some of us as simple layman's people. And we talk about the in Noah's time, we also tend to forget the artifacts we see in the Incas and in Egypt of flying objects.
And of the mounds and bread around my house.
Right. So do we know if these fallen angels buried themselves in the ground, or did they go into the air? That's a question.
Well, Joseph, I think it's just like the parable of the pigs and the swine. They wanted to occupy a body, right? And Jesus said, okay, go in those pigs. Go in there in those pigs. By the way, folks, don't forget this. It says in Genesis 6 that there were in those days giants in the land. In those, and also after. Before and after. Because why? Because the Nephilim, the fallen angels, don't die.
Nimrod was a giant killer. Nimrod built a tower to escape the next flood. Nimrod was a giant killer. So how could he be a giant killer if there were no giants?
Kevin,
I hate it when you use logic.
Kevin Van Story.
So pose a question. Since these offspring, Nephilim, the body that they were in died, possibly in the flood sometimes, but the spirit lived on, and those spirits now have manifested themselves in the people that are of publicity, say LeBron James, say Madonna, say Mitt Romney, say any of these people that have potentially sold their soul. Could that be a possibility? We got several hundred people of fame and fortune, maybe 1,000, that think that there's something, and they all lean toward the dark side. Would that be something?
I vote yes.
Well, and what about if the attributes of giants now is not the same as the attributes of giants then? Maybe the attribute of a giant now may not be as physical. It may not be as physical as it is more blood. As it is more blood.
Amen, Roger.
Now I got 3 minutes and a lot more people. Luann, come on in.
I'm here. Yeah, it keeps bringing me back to the 144,000 too. You know, with Noah, the only handful that went into the promised land. And there's only going to be those 144,000 it speaks of that goes, but we reach as many as we can. You know, they're gonna fall away. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I remember having plenty of prayer over this. You know, I kept getting, as Noah's day, there shall it be in the last days. And it's getting to be like that again, or it is that way again, don't get me wrong. And yes, we need to keep the boots on the ground. This is a hard battle, and we get attacked all the time. But we know the answer. Sometimes we just don't want to see it. You know? It's real important, though. Real important to keep going, keep going, keep the faith. And I agree with Larry. When you don't have that personal relationship with God, everything else is nothing, really. But everybody's on a different level, too, of training, is the way it was explained to me. With every day that goes by, God gives me something else. It's like when we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation over and over, we keep being given other things. You know, more knowledge to be more like God.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. How much time do we have spent?
Got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, get one more in here, then I want to wrap it up. Get one more in, Spencer.
Jeff Klein, come on in here.
Okay, a quick Ricky report today. Ricky needs a swallow test done today so he can eat food and drink. So just pray Ricky does the swallow test. Yesterday, here's just a funny story real quick about Ricky. He takes the mouth swab on a plastic stick soaked with water. This is Ricky. He looks over at me. I'm sitting in a chair, and he puts his finger on that thing and bends it backwards and shoots the water out of this thing all over me. Vicky looked at him like, how dare you? I laughed. I was so proud to get him that water. I said, Ricky's back. And he laughed.
It's going to be a walking, talking, breathing miracle because Jeff Klein gave the Lord a vessel to work through. Don't think that didn't happen. Now, folks, listen, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm sorry some of you didn't get in here. John Diamond's beside me. He didn't even get a chance to get in here today. Listen, I want you, I'm giving you some hope. I know this is edgy stuff, but friends, it may be edgy stuff today. This isn't edgy stuff in historical Christianity. It isn't. We don't teach it anymore. So your homework for today is to go in the chat room, or Jared will eventually get it up online, and go watch that Chuck Missler video. Take notes if you have to. He said some of the most unbelievable things I just could not believe. Destroyed for lack of knowledge, and you were the enemy, wouldn't you want to try to block knowledge? Don't they tell us that knowledge is power? And if knowledge is power, and you were on the other team, wouldn't you want to try to block knowledge? Does the enemy want us to have power? Does the enemy want us to have knowledge? Does the enemy want us to have the mind of Christ where we can see and understand exactly what's going on? We're warned, Jesus himself told us, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Yet we are. We are. We don't even talk about it. I get people that email me, so be careful, you're dealing with the demonic. Of course I am. I'm reading their game plan. Folks, listen. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I don't know if the Giants are coming back. I don't know if they're here now. I don't know if there are hybrids walking among us. I don't know if lizard people are real. I don't know. But listen, I'm tired of having people tell me things that I see in the Word that I am crazy because I want to go deeper and know more about it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We have no excuse.
Amen.
We're doing it to ourselves. Open your eyes up. Study. Don't just write things off because you didn't hear from your past. God bless you. Have a great weekend.